Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
What's up?
We were just talking about nerve-wracking watching your children play sports, like Tennessee's baseball's parents watching your children play. What's it like for you? Are you nervous? Have you gotten over it? How do we feel watching the children play sports?
Oh, man. No. I mean, my daughter's 11 and a half. And so she's playing U-12 soccer now. And I always tell everybody, if you gave me a choice between watching the Titans, the Preds, Nashville SC, or my daughter's U-12 soccer, she's going to win every time. I mean, when you've got that personal investment in it, and it's not that you want them to win. Well, I guess for some parents, they want their kids to win or lose. You just want them to do well. I mean, you're with them every step, every pitch, every shot. And, you know, every time it's a good one, you're like – excited and relieved at the same time. And everyone that doesn't go so well, you just die a little bit on the inside, just going, because you want it to be perfect for them. So it's definitely different when you have kids, because it's just so personal. And, you know, every parent I know wants more for their kids than they have for themselves. And so you want it even more for them.
Yep, no doubt about it. So a winner-take-all game tonight, Corey, for the Tennessee Volunteers in the national title game. They lose game one, they come back, even things up yesterday with the 4-1 win, and then game number three coming up tonight. What have you made of Tennessee's run to this point and the opportunity now in front of them to win a national championship tonight against Texas A&M?
Well, I like that they've continued to pretty much largely do things kind of the same way. You know, they've had quality pitching, they've played great defense, and they've hit the long ball. I mean, that's what they did all year. That's what they did yesterday. And, you know, they didn't panic yesterday. They kept working on pitching counts and, you know, kept taking their hacks the way they take them. And it only took two. I mean, like when you get a performance like that out of the bullpen, you shouldn't lose many games. That was pretty ungodly. You got to have guys step up. And, you know, Cal Stark, another guy, I mean, he was 0-16 in the series.
Yeah.
And then he hits that 2-run homer. You know, that's a definition of a guy who's still up there. He's 0-16. He could be a complete basket case at the plate. I would be at that point. I'd be humiliated. And he hits a 2-run bomb to help launch his team into a winner-take-all game. So they've clearly got the guts. They've clearly got the moxie. They've clearly got the confidence. And we know they've got the ability. And like I said, they've got, you know, the formula to win. And they've just continued to execute all of those things. You know, the problem is they're playing a really good team. And as I say all the time on this show, you can play really well and lose when you play another really good team. It's possible. So they could play great today and still lose 4-3, and everybody could, you know, bemoan the missed opportunity. But, you know, it happens. It's going to happen for one of these two teams.
If Tennessee does win, Corey, what's the magnitude? What are the ripple effects? What does it mean?
It's huge for Vitello and that program, you know, to get over the top of that mountain. I always know once you win the first one, it's easier to win the second. That may sound ridiculous, but I covered Ray Tanner in South Carolina, and they struggled to get to Omaha. You know, they had some, you know, super regional failures when they absolutely shouldn't have. And once they got to Omaha, you know, all of a sudden they were winning some games. And then once they won the national title, they won a few of them. And, you know, Tim Corbin was the same way. They had that heartbreak against Michigan, you know, and then once they got there, though, you know, and then got over the hump, you know, as a program, when you set an expectation, and Tennessee's won more games than any team in college baseball the last 4 years. So they've set an expectation to win. But when you set a championship expectation, and that's what this would do, I think it's different. And it would put Vitello at a different level as well. You know, we saw people come after Corbin here. I think Auburn twice, LSU, Texas,
Oregon.
I mean, a lot of people with a lot of money. And that's going to happen to Tennessee with Vitello, especially if they win, you know, I don't know who needs him right now. I haven't looked at the college baseball landscape. But some other big time baseball programs will come after him because that's what you do. That's what you should do. I mean, look, if I was an SEC program or an ACC program right now, and I was in the middle tier or the bottom tier of my conference, and I was making a coaching change, that would probably be the first call I would make and see what it would take to get him.
Corey, on ABC tonight at the same time, we'll have the Stanley Cup Final going on, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. Edmonton down 0-3 in the series, and they come all the way back and a winner-take-all tonight for the Stanley Cup as well. Connor McDavid been unbelievable in this. What have you made of the way that this series has played out? And can you think of the last time we saw a hockey game this big when you factor in the series, the players involved, and the way this series has gone down with Florida on the verge of one of the biggest collapses in the history of sports?
Yeah, how about remember that United States-Canada gold medal game?
Oh, yeah.
That was an awesome game. And I'm not, you know, you're asking me what I remember. You know, I remember that one, and this is a big one. And I love the buildup because, you know, this is so big for Canada because they haven't won the thing in over 30 years as a nation. And they get to the Cup Final, and they immediately lay an egg, and they're like, okay, we're not going to win the Cup again. And now they're built back up again, you know, on this crescendo, right? And they're there again. If they don't win this thing tonight, that nation may just completely melt down with the polar ice. And, you know, that's kind of comical. You know what? Look, I never would have believed that they would have climbed all the way back in this thing, but they have, and they deserve a ton of credit for that. Now, they do have some pretty good players, which would make you question why they were down 0-3, but they were. But, you know, don't you think tonight clearly all the pressure is on Florida, though?
I think so.
I mean, they would be the ones who blew the 0-3 lead. And has it been since, like, Detroit in, like, the 50s or something since that happened?
It's happened four times in the history of the league. But, yes, Detroit in the Cup Final, I believe, was the team that did it.
Well, I mean, look, there's a difference between doing it in rounds one, two, or three and in the final.
Oh, yeah.
All right? When you do it, when you are 60 minutes from hoisting the cup and you have four chances to do it and can't, that's bad. That's Mary Catherine Gallagher. That's bad.
You know, speaking of the whole Canada thing, obviously I get it, 1993 and all that. Like, aren't like Canucks and Leafs and Flames fans rooting for Florida though? You know what I mean? Like, do they band together as a nation?
Country,
and like,
they hate
Flames fans rooting for a meteor.
They hate hockey teams south of the Mason-Dixon line. I mean, they hate it.
Yeah, but they're rivals with various different cities, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. But we watch, you know, all the time. We hear SEC all the time. SEC.
That's true.
I agree with people who say, "Screw that." I hope Bama loses every game. That's what it should be.
I always want the St. Louis Cardinals jet to crash into Lambeau Field. So, I mean, I'm never rooting for those teams.
That's a little morbid. That's a little morbid on a Monday morning.
I got a lot of hate. I got a lot of built-up anger for a long time. Dave, you're fortunate because the Lions have done nothing to ever anger
me. Well, it's true. Yeah. Rexroad could be right in the crosshairs. No comment from Rexroad. He's just totally disavowing all Lions comments.
I've been dreaming of their practice facility being sucked into the earth for decades. He's kind of ugly, though.
Beautiful. Like
they remake the 2012 movie, and he started the Lions.
The Lions practice facility. Yeah, it's a good movie.
Lake Michigan comes up and sucks it down.
Just awesome.
Please, Lord.
Corey, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning. And what a night, you know, for June 24th, this is pretty darn good. A winner take all.
By the way, who does everybody like in both games tonight?
I'm going Tennessee, and I'm going Man, the hockey game's tough. But I think I've switched. I think I'm going Edmonton.
What about you, Corey?
What did you say, Joe? I'm sorry.
Well, someone asked me about a parlay, and I'm just ignoring them in the text line. You do not want the responsibility of helping you the parlay. But if I have to pick, I will go Tennessee, and I will go Florida.
Yeah, I'll go Tennessee as well. And I have a really – you know what? I will go with Edmonton because of the star power and because Bobrovsky just hasn't been himself lately.
Yep.
But you know what? You know what the parlay would really be to take the under in both games.
Yeah, it would. It would. Mm. I think McDavid. The reason I'm going Edmonton is McDavid. I don't think is going to be denied. Like I think once he's gotten to this point, yeah. I think he's going to play out of his mind tonight.
I think you know, and the Kachuk's a great player, yep. So it's not like Florida doesn't have great players. But McDavid is the best player in hockey, and you know it's. You have a hard time. There's a reason those guys are valuable, and you don't bet against them because they're the best, they're the greatest. These are the moments that define careers, and McDavid knows that. McDavid knows that this is a pinnacle point for him. This, if he wins this game in history, you know, he will be a Stanley Cup champion, number one, which is, you know, the most important thing in sports to be a superstar is to have the championships to put on the wall next to your name. But to bring a team back from 0-3 down and be spectacular doing it, it will just build to his legacy and his, you know, majesty over the sport.
No doubt about it. Corey, have fun watching it all tonight, and we will talk to you next week.
Hockey on News 2. I know everybody wants to watch the baseball game, but maybe run two TVs.
Yeah, go both. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah,
I'm going both.
Okay.
It'll be fun.
Both.
Thank you, Corey.
EOS. All right, bye.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on what Corey had to say. Get back into Tennessee and Texas A&M coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We are broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Appreciate Corey Curtis from News 2 for being with us in the last segment. Game 3 tonight between Tennessee and Texas A&M. So, Joe, I asked you this earlier. Who do you think has the advantage heading in tonight? The betting odds would tell you it's Tennessee pretty big. I mentioned earlier FanDuel has Tennessee at a -290 favorite. Somebody texted us earlier about DraftKings at -230. So a pretty hefty favorite on the betting front for Tennessee. In terms of matchups, the pitching availability, lineups, all those things, who do you think has the advantage on paper heading into a decisive Game 3 tonight for the national championship?
Well, Tennessee is the better team, and I think that's especially true with Braden Montgomery out, star centerpiece of that Aggies lineup. They also missing one of their best pitchers who got hurt along the way here, Shane Sadow, if I said his name correctly. So Justin Lampkin goes tonight, and you know the two key guys for them available. They did not have to use Evan Aschenbeck, a very good senior lefty, out of the pen. He'll get a lot of work tonight. And of course, they're hoping for a great start from Lampkin. His numbers aren't great, a 5.00 ERA. You know, he's 2.45 average against. He does have 86 strikeouts to go with 20 walks. No, solid pitcher. He's a lefty. You look at the Tennessee lineup and you're like, yeah, I'd rather have a lefty, right? It's very balanced. They're three apiece in that ridiculous top six, but Burke, Dreiling, Tears, lefties. So, you know, you kind of like that. The thing is Burke and Dreiling have been hitting left in particular, have hit lefties very well. So, then they also have a righty in Josh Stewart, who also is able to rest. I think it's going to be – I'd be surprised if we see anybody but any of those three names. You know, for Tennessee, is Xander Seacrest going to end his career as just an all-time freaking legend? I mean, if he gives them another start, goes deep into the game, and keeps that score down, it would just be an incredible story. But they – you know, the Vols have, I think, a little bit more depth available. They barely use Kirby Connell. You know, he gave up a hit in his one appearance yesterday. The one hitter he faced. And then, of course, Snead came in the end, but Snead could be up for a lot of work tonight potentially. So then, you know, you have other possibilities there too, but I think it would probably be those three. I think Combs is done. They spent Combs yesterday, just like Texas A&M spent Chris Cortez. Chris Cortez was incredible yesterday. And he's out, and Combs is out. So I think it's, I guess you could look at it like three guys on each side, but look, the Tennessee lineup is better. And they finally kind of broke through after a day of frustration yesterday. And I could see that carrying over a little bit tonight into the early stages of the game.
Well, they need it to. And, you know, the pitching part of this is going to be really interesting. You know, with Sechrest, the way he's played lately, if he could give them four or five good innings, like if he could get in there, get into the fifth inning, I think that's a win for them tonight. And then you let the bullpen take over. Like, he's not going longer than that. You let the bullpen take over from there. At least I don't think he's going longer than that. But
he got into the seventh his last two times. Just saying.
He did. I would be surprised if that's the case tonight, unless he is just absolutely dealing. But I think if you can get him into the fifth, that's a pretty big win for you if you're Tennessee.
No doubt. Yeah, I mean, Drew Beam just got in the fifth yesterday, and I thought he was tremendous. I mean, that guy is, you know, the pressure of the moment yesterday for Drew Beam is not just that it's your start and you're trying to keep the season going. You're watching your guys struggle. You're watching your guys not get the big hit with runners on base. You're watching Chris Cortez throw 101 and then sliders that are just diving to the dirt. And you're like, I cannot give up. You give up that one home run in the second batter of the game to LaViolette, who's a hell of a player. And then he had to shut them out. He comes out and gets a strikeout to side inning with 12 pitches. You know, he was fantastic, and Combs was fantastic. So pitching, which is a thing that we thought might be their undoing, saved them yesterday. Now, can they put both things together? If they do, then I think they're going to have a fun night and a dog pile.
Well, and the other part of this, if you're A&M, not that you're, I mean, you can't just sit here and worry about it heading into the game, but I brought it up earlier. Christian Moore, Blake Burke, Amick, can those guys get going? By my quick math, Joe, and I did this in about 45 seconds, so I think I'm 90% sure it's correct. Christian Moore, 1-for-8 in the series. Blake Burke, 2-for-9. Amick's 1-for-8. So that's a 4-for-25 combined. So if all those guys, if two of those guys get going tonight, what does that mean for Tennessee? They've held those guys down pretty well so far in the series, but we've seen it. Like, it's just really, the more you see Christian Moore and the more he sees you, it's difficult to hold him down. Blake Burke, difficult to hold down. So they've done a nice job against those guys so far in the series. Does that change tonight in Game 3? And if it does, you'd think that's a huge advantage for Tennessee.
Right. Do you have tears? Because he's another guy who has struggled in this series for sure, and he was absolutely scorching. He's something like that, too.
He was 0-5 in game one, and let's see what he was yesterday real quickly. Tears yesterday was...
Of course, he had the final catch.
He was 1-for-4 yesterday. So you're talking 1-for-9.
Yeah, so four of their, you know, murderer's row top six have not been their normal selves. And again, that's, you got to give credit to Texas A&M too, sure, and their pitchers. Good question on the text line. Could Causey go in tonight? I would say yes. I would say that Causey, who of course did pitch a lot and didn't have great success, but they had to have him eat some innings in the opener. I would say with that day off, yes, he could go. And he's another, you know, kind of crafty arm. He's of course the submarine style. You know, if you can show people different things, obviously different arm slots, different speeds. That's where, like, I think Snead comes in, and, you know, Snead's bringing it at 97, 98, you know, but you had Combs with just commanding that curveball was 77 every time. And my goodness, it was just fluttering up there, and causing the Aggies all kind of trouble. But yes, I think Causey would be probably the most likely fourth guy. There's other guys. I mean, look, who knows? You know, you could have a surprise in there. You could have even a Marcus Phillips. Next year, he's going to be, I think, a key guy along with Snead and some other guys, you know, in this staff. But I think Causey would be the fourth guy who I would say has a possibility.
I would think so too. And then, you know, from a starting standpoint with Sechrest, what a story it would be if he comes in there tonight and pitches really, really well. I mean, we've gone through kind of his background and everything leading up to this point for him, but so far in the postseason and late in the season, he's been really, really good. Like, what a story it would be if he finishes it off tonight and it results in a national championship for Tennessee. Like, it's, you're talking about a guy that's been around for a while, wasn't really much of a factor in the program, and now has an opportunity to pitch in the biggest game of his life tonight with an opportunity to win a national championship.
Yeah, the personality of the 22 team obviously was set by Drew Gilbert and Jordan Beck, and as everybody knows, that's when the Vols became the villains and all that stuff, right? The personality of this team, again, Sechrist and Connell were on that team too. You know, they were kind of the comic relief, but they kind of set it with this team now. You know, obviously there's intensity. Like, I mean, we've talked about Christian Ward. He's out there barking and just, you know, fiery, and they're intense and all that stuff. But I think Sechrist has that, you know, he just has that, like, let's enjoy this too. Let's have some joy in the moment. And like, it's baseball, man. Go out and play. Look, that doesn't guarantee he's going to perform well tonight, but I think Gentry had a good call in the Tennessee today. And I, you know, just about how he might be the perfect guy for this moment, just because he does seem to have perspective and just, he's got that laid back thing. And they kind of set that personality for this team. It's a team that has been able to handle all these moments, and you have a bad game and then you come out the next game and you play better.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Tennessee playing for the national championship tonight against Texas A&M. A winner take all game three. We'll take your thoughts on that. What do you make of the matchup? Does Tennessee have the advantage? What would a national championship mean to this program and the fan base? 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see All Elite Wrestling, Bridgestone Arena, July the 24th. Caller 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. A pair of tickets to see All Elite Wrestling, Bridgestone Arena, July 24th. Some AEW action. 615-737-1025. Taking your thoughts on the Vols. A winner-take-all national title game tonight between Tennessee and Texas A&M. Tyler on the text line says, I feel like a championship here relieves some of the pressure with one of our teams finally getting over the hump. Winning promotes winning, and from a fan base standpoint, I think people start to believe more if we can finally get one. This is from Tyler on the text line. It would relieve, Joe, for sure, some of the battered Vol syndrome that we started to see once again yesterday on Twitter. It was a beautiful sight.
Yes, it would. And unless the Vols are immediately up 16-0 in this game and half of the Aggies get injured early, then I'm sure there will be some freaking out tonight by Vol Twitter until it's done.
I'm sure there will.
Keep it together. Keep it together. You know, if your team's down early, you know, they can still come back. Yeah, look, from the big picture Tennessee fan perspective, this is a long time coming to finish the deal. And I just, yeah, again, I've seen out here, it's a lot of people have come out here to Omaha in orange, and they are very excited, and they were very, I guess, subdued, you know, after Saturday's game, although Vitello said they kept him up partying all night, so it couldn't have been that bad. But, you know, the online freaking out, I get it. It's kind of funny. If you get this one, well, I've seen, actually, I heard a fan, and I forget who Big Joe called him. I'm chasing Big Joe. He's like the mayor of, I don't know, but he was like, "I'm gonna win it too, baby." So, you know, you can just roll this into football season if you win this title and just stay on that high all the way into August. And then the preseason optimism that every team has, it'll be doubled for Vols fans.
As of last night, Joe, and this was a tweet from 14 hours ago, the Rocco's Jello Shot Challenge in Omaha, Nebraska. The count for Tennessee, 27,004 Jello shots. For Texas A&M, 27,422. So as of 14 hours ago, the Aggies leading in the Rocco's Jello Shot Challenge in Omaha, Nebraska. I expect better from Vol Twitter.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised because they had a pretty sizable lead. And again, I got people coming at me about the saying the stadium 65-70% vols. It is. I doesn't mean maybe all the Aggies fans are doing jello shots during the game, but like there's a significant difference in fans' butts in seats, orange versus maroon. And it's definitely tilted quite heavily the Vols' way, but yeah, man, oil money. I mean, it's like last year LSU, like the guy who, like, I think it's the Raising Cane's guy, right? And he'd buy like 20,000 shots or something. Like, so they set the all-time record of like 1 million last year. And by the way, a chunk of that money does go to charity, so at least there is that. Like, it is used. It's not just people sucking down,
obliterating jello shots,
bad vodka and gelatin. Like, there is some value in the whole thing. But yeah, I'm surprised. I'm impressed that the A&M has hung in like they have. It's going to go down to the end.
It is. Dylan on the text line. I've never really been into baseball, but this is the first year I've kept up with it because my father-in-law is a diehard Vols fan. Don't know a ton about it, but the pitcher the Aggies had yesterday, Cortez, seems like he's an absolute stud. First off, yes, Cortez was awesome yesterday. Secondly, it does feel like, I said it earlier, it felt like yesterday I was watching like a pretty big-time, high-level college football Tennessee game with just the activity level from the fan base on social media. And not that social media is like the be-all, end-all of judging things, but it just, I mean, it's pretty clear that Tennessee fans are kind of all in here, and even your casual fans that don't care about baseball all that much. And I still think, Joe, this is just my guess, and I could be wrong. If you broke it down and, like, people were really truthful, like, would you rather have a baseball national championship or, like, a college football appearance in the college football playoff? My guess is football probably still wins, but there's some serious buy-in from the Tennessee fan base on what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, football's going to win, but I guess if you're a Vols fan out there, is there anybody out there who would say, yeah, I just can't get into this? Or I know some Tennessee fans who just aren't, you know, it's just baseball. They're not into it.
The only thing, man, I've heard.
I think you'd be hard-pressed.
You're hard-pressed to find it, and they've watched it anyway. The only thing I've heard, I have had a couple of buddies that have texted me and been like, oh, my God, it just takes forever. Like, the games take so long. I get it. They're trying to correct it.
Yeah, well, and like especially that game one. 4 hours plus, and like, you know, your team's down 7-1 right away, and it just goes on. And my gosh, do we have to challenge everything? Do we have to like the Christian Moore challenge? I know somebody's gonna get after me for hating on Tony V, but it's like it wasn't even close. I mean, he must have told them that the ball hit him, right?
He must have.
But and also, by the way, the first base ump yesterday, how do you miss both of those calls?
Like, I don't know.
In real time, I thought both were out. And then the review both times. Yeah, he was wrong. But anyway.
Listening to Vitello in the dugout just yell.
That could be. But, yeah, definitely these games are too long, no doubt. I mean, even yesterday was like a pitcher's duel. Like, you know, usually games like that go quickly, and it was well past 3 hours. But I think, you know, I think tonight, especially when you get it down to that football-like, here it is. This is one contest to decide it. It was so much on one game. It's rarely the case in baseball. I think you're going to have very few Tennessee eyeballs that aren't on this game.
Yeah, I think so. And look, an opportunity here from a fan base standpoint. We talked about this earlier in the hour with Corey Curtis. This is a fan base that is starving for a winner. And you know, look, a baseball national title will never be, you know, what a college football national title is or anything like that. But just to have your team break through, it's been a long time. It's been since 2008, since when Pat Summitt and Lady Vols broke through, that Tennessee has had, you know, a team in a major sport win a championship and a national championship. And this is an opportunity, a winner-take-all game tonight, where you've been, I think, clearly the best team in college baseball for most of the season. You've got an opportunity to do it. And this tonight, Joe, is part of what makes sports so great, because the swing of emotion here in terms of what's possible is pretty wild. Like, if they lose tonight, this fan base is going to be devastated. Even though it was a great run and they've done a great job by, you know, answering some questions and getting to this point and playing to the last game of the year, I mean, the fan base is going to be – they're going to come unglued tonight if they lose. And if they win, it's going to be epic. Like, the celebration you know, I made the joke earlier about the Omaha police scanner. It may be more apropos to turn on the Knoxville police scanner if they win tonight, because the celebration is going to be ridiculous. So this tonight's setup is part of what makes sports awesome.
Yeah, I mean, if they lose, then it's like you can't knock them. You can't be mad at anybody, right? But it is the ultimate. I mean, just tease you to the very end and then heartbreak, right? Yeah. Like BVS. That's a significant chapter in the BVS book.
It is.
But like you said, euphoria if they win. Here's a question for Vols fans, but this is a better – it's not a good question to ask now because, like, they're playing for a national title tonight. But baseball national championship – let's take football out of it. We know football is different, but baseball national championship or Rick Barnes' team gets to the Final Four without knowing how it goes from there, if you could choose. You get the baseball national championship, or you get men's basketball gets to the Final Four for the first time ever, and then no, you know, could happen.
It's a great question. I mean, like, obviously, like the text line, my guess will be overwhelming baseball national championship because they're getting ready to play for one tonight. But I think right. On the surface, it's a good question, especially with the caveat of you don't know where it goes from there with the Final Four. I think it's a pretty good question.
Like, that's the question to ask in September. Going into a sports year, right? But yeah, once you get this close with anything, then obviously there's just such a huge difference, win or loss, in this one game.
615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Nate. Nate, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, guys? So y'all mentioned the Christian Moore challenge, which I thought a couple of his headphone gestures have been questionable this tournament, because I have noticed that it's been pretty off when he's wanting to challenge whatever it is. But with the one where Vitello came out saying that he got hit by the pitch, I don't know if you noticed, Robbie, like if you were listening to the TV broadcast, but how much do y'all really think that Vitello could have been doing that to kind of try and make the freshman pitcher think a little more? I equated it yesterday to kind of like icing a kicker.
Interesting thought. Thanks for calling, Nate. That's interesting. Thought. I mean, maybe. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say that doesn't happen, because I think that absolutely could happen. I don't know if that's what he was going for there, but that's an interesting thought for sure. Like let the more time you got to sit there, if you're a pitcher and things start to get in your head and the environment creeps in, maybe.
Yeah, possible. But I mean, you have limited challenges too, and who knows what might happen down the line. Speaking of decisions, one thing Vitello, I mean, so many things get lost, right, in these games when you're like thinking back on them or writing about them or talking about them. But, you know, he had Stark bunting, you know, two on, one out. And I was like, I get it, because well, no matter what happens, that means you're going to get Christian Moore up again with multiple base runners. And, you know, if it works, you have two guys in scoring position. And then, of course, they called it off, and he grounds into the 5-4-3. Yeah. At that point, I was like, man, maybe this is going to be one of those days where it's just like they just get no breaks. And I know, I'm sure people were mad about that decision. He said it was like 50-50 in the dugout on take the bunt off or not, but that was one of those moments I was like, man, maybe they actually are just going to continue to run into a brick wall all day long. But then Dylan Dreiling happened.
And that was when Cal Stark was firmly in the crosshair of Vol Twitter, and it remained that way even into his next at bat, when he crushed the ball approximately 445 feet over the wall. He destroyed that
baseball.
I'm
sorry, Cal. I love you, Cal.
There's a lot of that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts coming up next on Tennessee and the national title game tonight. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final for June 24th. Pretty good night in sports coming up. We'll take your thoughts on all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Joe Rex Road live from Omaha, Nebraska. The national title game tonight between Tennessee and Texas A&M. Game 3 of the College World Series Finals. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight between Edmonton and Florida. We'll take your thoughts on all that. Paul on the text line wondering if I'm going Vols on big screen, Game 7 on the phone tonight, or vice versa. Joe, the goal tonight is the two TV setup. I have two that I can kind of move around, and I'm gonna go two TV setup right next to each other. I am a little upset, to your point, that Tennessee did not win Saturday, Sunday, so I could focus all my attention on the Cup Final tonight. But there are worse things in life to have to watch two championship sporting events on the same night, and I'm gonna give it my best effort tonight.
Yeah, I'm really upset. I really am. Like, I'm so excited for Game 7, and like we've talked about, this is the biggest hockey game in a while, and I really want to just be able to, like, enjoy it, and I will be streaming it in the press box, but, you know, what's gonna happen? Overtime and Vitello's, you know, like, breakdancing at the press conference? He just won a national title, and what am I going to do? Do I pay attention to him, or am I watching the hockey?
Well, I will say this. The hockey's going to be fun. And I think we're going to get a great game tonight. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it goes into overtime. Having said that, there's no telling what Tony Vitello might say at the podium after they won a national title, so I'd probably keep my eyes on that. There's a wide variety of things that he might discuss if they win.
Yeah, there should almost be, like, betting odds on, like, if they win, like, which movie will he reference, you know, like – Yeah, I mean, like, it's like Fast Times at Ridgemont High, you know.
I mean, will he detail his vacation plans about going to Tulum?
Yeah, it'll be something to see. And just even, like, I mean, just the on-field element of this, if they win, it will be something to behold, I'm sure. So, man, there's a lot at stake. I wish last night, as I had a nice day game to cover, I was like, I need Game 7 right now. And it wasn't there for me. And the NHL had a primetime Sunday for its taking. And, you know, these people are used to the 9,000-mile flights back and forth or whatever the heck it is. I mean, just, you know, take the day off, take one day less between games and play it last night. But they didn't do it.
They didn't do it. It's going to happen tonight. I think it's going to be great. So let's get into it. Joe, let's start with Tennessee, Texas A&M. Who wins the national championship tonight and why?
I'm going to go Tennessee. Baseball scores. I'll go Tennessee 8-5 over Texas A&M.
Okay.
And I think this lineup, and 8 is, you know, that's not a huge number, but I think this lineup is going to get cooking a little bit early, get on the board. Texas A&M does have, you know, a couple really good pitchers still left, but Cortez has been burned out, and he has the best stuff. I mean, he has better stuff than Prager and anybody I've seen on that staff. And they used him to try to win it yesterday. And I think Sechrist will at least, you know, I can't sit here and predict a, you know, their gem where he goes into the seventh like he did in the deciding game of the Super Region, like he did against Florida State to get Tennessee here. But I think he'll give them another good performance, and they've got the arms to hold it from there.
By the way, Larry on the text line says, watch the hockey game in total, then turn the baseball game on. They'll only be in the fourth inning. Baseball taking a stray from Larry on the text line.
Oh, God, you may be right, Larry. That's the thing. I'm sitting here talking about watching the hockey game at the post game. I mean, shoot. Yeah, I might be in the seventh inning. I can just stream. I'd actually take that if I could watch the whole hockey game before the baseball's over. I'll take it.
I will go Tennessee 7, Texas A&M 6. I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be a great game tonight. Vol Twitter will be nervous as can be, which adds to the drama. But I do think Tennessee is better. I think it's hard to hold down Tennessee's lineup for this long. And Texas A&M deserves a lot of credit for being able to do it. I think guys like Christian Moore and Blake Burke come through tonight when you need them the most. And I think they'll do that. I think they'll win. I think Tennessee holds on. They win 7-6. What about Cup Final? Edmonton in Florida tonight. Florida on the verge, and we went through it earlier. There's some other examples you can think of, but Florida is on the verge of one of the biggest collapses in sports history, major sports history in our country. But still an opportunity to win tonight, one game for the Stanley Cup at home. If you told them that before the year, they would probably take it. So who do you got tonight in Game 7? Connor McDavid and the Oilers, Matthew Tkachuk and the Panthers.
I'm going to go Florida 4, Oilers 3, double overtime. How about that for you?
That would be epic.
wouldn't it though? Yeah, I don't. I probably lean toward like, man, it's so hard. Edmonton's like a rolling train right now. And you mentioned earlier, I guess they'll have a fair amount of fans in the building.
That's the word.
But I still I think Florida is going to reset and just get back to what they were doing before they've been outscored 20-5 in like the last 10 periods. And I think they're going to get it done.
I thought Florida was going to go up there in game six and win. Everybody was all over the Edmonton train, and I thought it was a little bit too much love for the Oilers and that Florida would go up there and win. And then Edmonton ran them out of the building quick. I mean, Draisaitl made a great play. That building was rolling. Even like through the TV, that was one of the louder buildings I think I've ever seen in a playoff game. So it was awesome. I'm interested to see what the environment is tonight in Florida. But right now, like, it just feels like to me Connor McDavid is not going to let them lose tonight. Like, that's kind of the feeling I've had ever since Game 6 ended is McDavid and Draisaitl, they've gotten it to this point, and they're not going to let them lose. And I think they win tonight. I think Matthias Ekholm gets a cup. I think the Oilers get it done. I'll go Edmonton 4, Florida 2. I would love to see it go into overtime because a Game 7 Cup Final overtime game, I can't think of really anything in sports that's better than that. But I think Edmonton wins 4-2. I think Connor McDavid is going to run away with the Conn Smythe either way, and it will be cool. I think a lot of Predators fans are rooting for that. I think they want to see Ekholm win a cup, and that'd be awesome if he's able to pull that off.
Yeah, I mean it seems inevitable at some point, but that's the thing. When you get that opportunity, just like it seems like Tennessee is going to be back with Vitello, but when you get the opportunity, you gotta. Bring your best and take advantage. Drew says A&M get to the six and give Aschenbeck the ball. They're toast. He assumes he means the balls are toast.
Yeah,
I think Aschenbeck might pitch more than that actually, but you know that's a big if, man. That is a big if. Lampkin's a good pitcher, not a great pitcher, and that's where I think the Vols might have some early success.
Yep, it could be a big night for Tennessee. They could end their championship drought here tonight as they take on Texas A&M in the College World Series final. I'm interested to see, too, you know, we brought up the lineup part of this. Like, how many pitchers does Tennessee use tonight? They've got some guys that are there and that are at their disposal. Like, does Stamos get back in there tonight? Could they go Causey again? Like, there's a bunch of options they've got.
Stamos is, yeah, I failed to mention him earlier. He is another option. So, and that's
it's
possible.
It's not gone well for him.
No, but I feel like it's like one hard hit ball, and Vitale's like, okay, thanks.
Yep, see you later.
Come on in, AJ. Causey definitely could have a role here, without question. By the way, weekend winners, did you win?
I mean, I won a couple. I know at least of so games, probably. So I would almost guarantee you that yes, but I will tally it up.
So sure. Hot honey pizza on Nick.
I will tally it up just to be sure. Right. I'll let you know. We'll have a big reveal in the 6 o'clock hour tomorrow. There's nothing else going on. No championship games tonight. Yeah. So we'll have a big reveal tomorrow.
Good. I'll still be up after my all nighter. So can't wait.
Joseph, enjoy your final day in Omaha today. Well, I guess your final full day in Omaha today. Enjoy the 100 degree weather too. Should be fun.
Oh man, I tell you what, I'm like a block and a half away. I showed up yesterday. I looked like the pilot on an airplane, man. I was just like, I mean, it's amazing. And that was a cool day compared to today. Can't wait.
Oh boy. We'll have your full reaction tomorrow. The national title game tonight, game 7 in the Cup Final. Enjoy it. Going to be a great night in sports. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chasing Big Joe up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.